The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. Time for Need to Know for this week. Kip Kiefer with you. And we are going to have a rousing discussion, as per usual, on a number of topics that have been top of the mind for me this week. Coming to you this time from an unlikely location. Last week it was Las Vegas. This week I'm reporting from Wichita, Kansas. Indeed, a great spot right in the middle of our country. I used to live here back in the early part of the century and am back doing some business here and enjoying reconnecting with the city and glad to be with you from the great Midwest tonight. On Need to Know, on this edition, we are going to talk about the following subjects: mugshots, mandatory shots, vacation policies, the joy of traveling, and drinking heavily. Now, with that for a tease, I know you're riveted to the program, so let's get right into it, shall we? Let's start with mugshots. The most famous mugshot ever taken took place this week, and it certainly displaced some of the previous favorites, Elvis Presley and James Dean, other cultural icons over the years. Of course, all of the famous criminal mugshots of John Dillinger and Al Capone. But this time, the mugshot heard round the world is Donald J. Trump. Yes, the former president was subjected to going to Fulton County in one of the diciest parts of downtown Atlanta, going to a police station, being arraigned, mugshot, fingerprinted, and subject to a $200,000 bail. Now, all of that sounds kind of normal for a day operation in most big cities, but think about the aberration this is. First of all, on the ridiculous charges leveled by Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, who has come up with a multiple count, multiple defendant, 19 defendants in an alleged overthrow plot to overturn the election in the United States in 2020. She has made the case that this is a RICO situation, which was put in basically a statute to take down organized crime by proving that they were a organized criminal enterprise. So this particular charge in Fulton County alleges that there was a national scheme among people, and this didn't happen. There's only a couple of the charges that are specific to Georgia, and that was interference allegedly by President Trump of asking Secretary of State Raffensperger in Georgia to find him 1,140 more votes to flip the script in Georgia. That was a request that was not made to falsify votes, but it was surely there are inconsistencies in the count so profound since Fulton and DeKalb County basically completely shut down on election night counts and didn't resume until the following day when all of a sudden a big lead for Trump in Georgia completely disappeared because virtually every vote that was found and submitted after deadlines or from drop-off locations in giant cartons and all kinds of other containers, virtually every vote in Georgia and Pennsylvania that came in late after counting was suspended for whatever reason, those votes, how amazing, they all basically were 100% for Joe Biden. And those margins in those key states that would have swung the election flipped to the other side and Biden became the winner. So Trump, of course, very suspicious of the outcome, mentioned that he believed that the election had been stolen. He believed that the emergency rules for COVID had led to a situation where there was no checks and balances. We've talked about this on the show many times, how people were allowed to vote multiple times in all different kinds of manners, whether it be ballot harvesting, whether it was be mail-in ballots, whether it would be showing up out on election day, and even phantom people voting, because there's a sworn affidavit from a truck driver who was dispatched from a print shop at the middle of the night on the election day and sent from New York to Philadelphia to the election center and delivered 8 pallets of cartoned paper. Clearly, they were votes that were printed up to submit. And you know what the Democrat motto is? All votes must be counted. Well, all votes that are legitimate need to be counted. This is a pretty clear indication of what happened. These vote counts were suspended in these communities and these key places that are going to determine the outcome, because the exact number needed basically to turn the tide was determined and those votes were produced. And again, I don't have definitive proof of this, but I depend on my common sense, and all the facts that I have gathered lead to a pretty clear-cut explanation logically of what took place. There's no explanation why vote counting stopped and that Republican observers were sent home in the middle of the night before voting counting resumed, and all of a sudden there were all of these votes, virtually every one for Joe Biden. So Donald Trump naturally reacted that, hey, wait a minute, this looks phony, it looks fixed, it looks foul, and said, I believe the election was stolen from me. And because he used his First Amendment right to say what he thinks, now they have parlayed these into federal charges by prosecutor Jack Smith, trying to charge him in Washington for inciting the January 6th insurrection, when he certainly did not. And even some of the evidence was an edited version of his remarks that morning at the National Mall for the protest gatherers, basically splicing together two parts of his speech that were not concurrent. One was at the beginning of his speech and the other at the end, something to the effect of, now get down to the Capitol and fight like hell. Those were sound bites from two different parts of the speech. He did not say that sentence. And a lot of this case is based on all of this contrived evidence. It is the most blatant political attempt to interfere with a presidential candidate by charging him basically for violating whatever contrived charge they've come up with, but denying him his right in the First Amendment of free speech and free expression. He has every right as the sitting president to also call for election integrity and question if he doesn't believe that integrity exists. But they've trumped, and no pun intended, up charges. And now, because this is the ultimate persecution, everything else they've tried to do over the last 7 years has pretty much failed, except for the emergency procedures in the election. This guy has got to get out of their way, and they will go to any measure whatsoever, to try and prevent Donald Trump from retaking the White House. And for that, he has been arrested and charged on 4 different occasions now, in New York, in Florida, in Washington, D.C., and now by Fannie Willis and Fulton County, Georgia, with a ridiculous indictment that's all over the board, talking about alleged violations all over the country. She's the district attorney of Fulton County. She has no jurisdiction anywhere else in the United States, and this is just a mockery of a sham. It's absolutely pathetic, and it's an embarrassment. And now the mugshot. The mugshot heard round the world, Donald Trump posing before the photographer at the Fulton County Jail. And that guy took one of the most famous photographs of all time, because Trump basically struck a pose, glaring eyes, curled up mouth that showed nothing but contempt and defiance. And the picture, that mugshot, has gone viral. It is everywhere. It is going to be on T-shirts. It is going to be the basis of Halloween costumes. It is going to be on coffee mugs. It's going to be everywhere you look. And amazingly, this tactic, too, to create the ultimate humiliation and bad optic for the former president, to try and discourage Americans from supporting him for office, has made his numbers skyrocket even more. Because now, people who feel oppressed by the system, people who feel persecuted and marginalized and stepped over, now have a comrade in arms in the former president, billionaire Donald Trump. I thought it was hilarious how many famous African-American personalities came on YouTube and other social media channels with supporting statements, reaching out to Trump. One of them saying, "Hey, Trump's a brother now. He's being persecuted by the man. He's being stepped on by the authorities. Now he can identify." And I think this is going to swing the pendulum in a very dangerous direction that the Democrats never anticipated, because Trump already making gains in the black vote in 2020, now perhaps is going to seize even more, because a lot of people out there clearly recognize that all of these charges are just utter baloney, and this is strictly a political witch hunt to try to take him down and send a 78-year-old man to jail for up to 257 years for doing absolutely nothing wrong. It's crazy. He was the president. He had presidential authority to conduct himself as he saw fit. That's what the Constitution guarantees. He did not violate any laws, but he stepped on toes, and they've got to get him out of the way. So the mugshot, designed to completely humiliate him, ridiculous. A mugshot needs to be taken of the most recognizable man on the face of the earth. A $200,000 bond. What is he going to do? Fly the coop? It is just preposterous. The whole thing is absurd. And everybody in Atlanta, Georgia, who elected this lunatic as the district attorney, seeking her big moment of fame, ashamed, should be ashamed tonight, as Atlanta continues to completely separate itself from Georgia. It needs to declare its own independence and be its own state, because it has been infested now with all of these progressive, woke, left-wing lunatics, and it is absolutely out of control. So that's the mug shots. Now let's talk about mandatory shots, because there were some interesting things coming out of the White House over the last 2 weeks. Because remember, our next topic, which ties into this one, is vacation policies. Well, I'm going to start with the vacation policies and get back to mandatory shots, because while Joe Biden has been vacationing 19 of the last 22 days, when's the last time you had 19 days off in your job or your vocation? First, he went to Delaware and the beach for 10 relaxing days of trying to ride his bike and trying to lower himself into a chair on the beach. Then he came back to work for 3 whole days before shipping out to Lake Tahoe to the home of a wealthy supporter, and he has been holed up there for another 9 days. So pretty amazing vacation, 19 days of the last 22. Pretty good work if you can get it for good old Uncle Joe. But while Joe's away, his lunatics in the White House are playing, because they have been coming out with some very interesting ideas and proposals for, quote, presidential edicts and policies. And one of them is the suggestion that with this new strain of COVID, which they cannot let go, because once again, This is all about power and control. This is about getting American people to yield their independence and freedom of choice and free will. They're suggesting that the pharmaceutical companies get busy, get a vaccine put together for this new particular strain of COVID-19, and suggesting that they're going to urge the president to require this to be a mandatory injection for every single solitary American. Now, a lot of us have really wised up since the great myth of 2020, the COVID hysteria, the suddenly developed vaccines that everybody was willing to take because it seemed like the logical thing to do at the time. But it has since proven to be completely not what it was billed to be. This was supposed to be a vaccine that would prevent you from spreading the disease and even contracting the disease, even if you've had it already and developed some immunity. This vaccine was promised to do those two things. It did neither. Many people have gotten the vaccine repeatedly, or gotten the vaccine, have gotten the disease again repeatedly, and they claim, well, you know, it's just because there's different strains, so you got to keep getting boosters and new shots. Meanwhile, there's been a lot of mysterious health-related problems with a lot of people who took the vaccine. I'm not on the conspiracy train to suggest that the vaccine caused that, but every individual is different. You don't know the side effects or the residual effects that a fast-developing vaccine and also the subsequent follow-ups. And anybody who's not chilled at the prospect of taking a vaccine now that is declared mandatory after seeing the hidden camera footage of the director of development formerly for Pfizer giddily say on camera, this has been a tremendous success. It's been an unbelievable cash cow for the company. Well, basically what he's saying is the vaccine was secondary. It's only a money-making venture. And for the government, it's power and control. So everybody gets what they want. The pharmaceutical company keeps spreading around untold billions of dollars into the pockets of the decision makers, who then will support the push for everybody to have to take a vaccine that all of us know is ineffective and many of us fear could be actually harmful. And it completely saps the free will and individual liberty of all Americans. What happened to my body, my choice? That only applies apparently in limited areas, because they don't care if it's your body, it's not your choice. It's their mandate that they're going to push that everybody has to take this vaccine. And for what? It doesn't prevent the disease and it doesn't prevent the spread of the disease. So it's not a vaccine by definition. It's a moneymaker for pharmaceuticals. It's a control vehicle for the government, who can also impose emergency procedures and lockdowns and all the things that we've already experienced. And all of us are smart enough to not ever be allowed to happen again. So there's your vacation policy, which is wreaking havoc in terms of mandatory shots to go with bug shots, the first couple of subjects on our discussion today. I have to talk a little bit. I've been traveling extensively in the last couple of weeks. I told you at the top, I'm in Wichita, Kansas today. It was supposed to be a short hour and a half flight connecting in Dallas with a 55-minute flight from Dallas to Wichita. That was a day ago, and it didn't quite work out that way. And you know what? It's the norm now. It's not a sad, you know, occurrence where flights are delayed and you don't get there anywhere near the time. You don't leave on time. You don't get where you're going on time. This flight was due in last night before midnight. It didn't arrive here till close to 2 a.m., and that's a big difference when you've planned your days and your schedules. It's very inconvenient. There was no weather to speak of last night. For some reason, American Airlines was just running behind. They never gave an explanation. They said, apologize for the delay. We'll try to get out of here as fast as we can. As we sat on the ground for another 30 minutes, once they got everybody on the plane, This is the norm right now of airline travel, and it is absolutely abhorrent. I know there's a lot of problems in the airline industry with the fact that staffing levels are low, demand is high, the availability of pilots and flight crew folks are not in abundant supply. That's a big problem. The industry has become so reliant on computerized models calling all the shots. This is your earliest indication of what artificial intelligence is, and it is very intelligent. The intricate, very complicated, detailed schedules of planes and what their service in a day is in terms of where they go and who they pick up at the next stop and where they go from there. It all is great unless something along the line goes wrong. And that can be a computer breakdown at a particular busy airport, weather problems, staffing issues, sudden strikes. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can really throw the industry into a complete tizzy because the computer has no opportunity and no ability to make adjustments. And certainly the human beings who are not even in the schedule planning business anymore, having turned all that over to automated systems, don't have an answer. So any little small domino that's tipped over anywhere along the line can wreak havoc all the rest of the day and for several days, strand people at airports, cancel flights, delay flights significantly. It is a giant cluster, you know what, to travel right now. And if you can avoid air travel, I would certainly recommend it. Unfortunately, most of the places I've been going lately require it, but it is not a pleasant experience. And if you have, I had a flight from Fort Lauderdale to Atlanta a couple of weeks ago that left on time and arrived 5 minutes early. And it was like, wow, how about that? That is really something special. That's what it's supposed to be every time, folks. And now you are absolutely delighted if the miracle of actually getting on the plane when scheduled and arriving when you're supposed to get there is what is the resulting factor. So with all this being said, my final subject today on Need to Know is drinking heavily. And if you like to drink heavily, well, all I can say is bottoms up, friend. You better start, because another one of the policies that the little crafters of great new thoughts and control of the population have come up with while Joe Biden is vacationing for 19 days is that there needs to be a national public health initiative, an announcement to urge Americans to limit their alcohol consumption, get ready for this, to 2 alcoholic drinks per week. Now, you heard me right. Not per day, not per hour, not for 10 minutes, per week. 2 drinks per week. That's what they're recommending. That's best for your health. That's best for your well-being. And for whatever reason, it's best for whatever sham policy they're trying to push into place here. Again, these are people that sit around all day long and try to think of ways to completely disrupt your life. And I'm not a big drinker. Sometimes there's weeks where I only have 2 drinks, but I'm an American with freedom. I'm a adult of age. If I want to go out and drink an entire, if I want to drink 2 bottles of wine instead of just 2 alcoholic drinks, does that count? I have that right. You have that right. And it just every week, this administration issues policies and talks about doing things that take away your freedom, your liberty, and your ability to make your own choices. They want you to overhaul your car, all of your appliances, take all of these extraordinary measures to compromise your life, make you spend tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to completely retool all of your resources And now they're even telling you how many alcoholic drinks and what kind of foods to eat. They've been doing that for years. They want to eliminate beef because raising cattle is bad for the atmosphere and the environment. I mean, these people want total control of your life, and you need to wake up and recognize that, because this is not just a James Bond plot where evil doers out there want to control the world. This is real, and this is being not only pushed by people that have all these maniacal ideas, this is being pushed by globalists and by our greatest threat over in China. And if you don't believe that, look who profits from all of this conversion to this green energy movement. Almost all of the minerals necessary for all of these solar and energy efficient Green New Deal mechanisms, all of those resources come from China, and that is not a coincidence. Meanwhile, China, who is cashing in and trying to cash in on the great environmental awareness movement in America to completely change everything we do here, they're not on board with that same philosophy for their country. All of these industries that are producing all of these products are being powered by, get ready for it, coal plants. They've opened 12 new coal plants this year. There's many, many more under construction. It's an abundant resource they have. It is absolutely, basically prohibited in this country to have any coal usage. And in China, it is abundant. China and India are the two biggest polluters in the world. And the target on the back of the globalist community and the crazy leftist progressives in this country is the United States of America and your freedoms and liberties. And everybody needs to be aware of that as we face the most critical election of all time coming up just a year from now, where if we don't change course and throw out, and this again is not a partisan statement, there's plenty of Republicans riding the gravy train of big government and deep state control. We need to clean house in Washington, send all new leaders to the nation's capital to represent our interests, and reserve and restore and renew the opportunity for our representative republic, because that's what it is. It's not a democracy. The threat to our democracy are these people that are saying that we face a threat to our democracy by not being allowed for you to give them total control. A representative republic requires responsible representatives that are not there to serve themselves, but there to serve you. That's Need to Know for this week. Don't miss Kiefer and Curry. We're going to talk later this week about one of our favorite subjects, which is what's happening to sports and now even down to the Little League level. So that's coming up on TKR later in the week. Kip Kiefer, Tony Curry. And I got to give a shameless plug real quick. If you're in Alabama, be sure to check out 10:30 Saturday morning, ABC 3340, which is shown in Birmingham and regionally amongst most of the state. It'll be Kip and Tony, Kiefer and Curry's starting lineup, one of the best pregame shows for football that you'll ever see. We've got an all-star cast. We're going to have a blast. Tune in this Saturday, 10:30, ABC 3340, Kiefer and Curry starting lineup. Have a great week, everybody. See you next week on Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.